Good morning. Welcome to Trending. This is Ben Rogers, your host. The last few weeks, I've been visiting with counties and getting updates on school systems and county operations. This week, I want to bring back City of Coolville Mayor Ricky Shelton to get us caught up with everything happening in the city. I haven't had the mayor on in a while, and I know he's been very busy the last few months, as well as the council. The council's been busy. He will be here updating us on some of what's going on with the city, operations, summer events that's coming up. Are they happening? What's going on there? Just some good information. We're also going to hit some any new retail. We know we've had an announcement last week with a restaurant. I want him to talk some about that. All the good stuff going on in Coolville. We've been through so much as a city and county here in Putnam County and City of Coolville. I can't think of anybody else better to talk about the city than Mayor Shelton. Mayor, thank you for being here.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me again.
How's everything going?
It's been a giant blur over the last since about March 3rd, mm-hmm. at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and I was there that afternoon, and I remember seeing you. And we didn't communicate a lot because you were focused, Randy was focused. I was trying to do whatever y'all want me to do, and then eventually said, you know what, I just need to get out of the way. Brandon Smith said, no, I want you here, and I was like, Brandon, I appreciate you, but I'm just sitting here taking up air. These people need to breathe. But yeah, you were busy. Everybody there is busy. Y'all done a wonderful job. Can't brag on everybody enough. I've probably bragged on you every week, and I'm still going to do that for a long time.
Oh, so we appreciate it. It's I said it's like organized chaos in that emergency operations center, and it's everyone has their function, mm-hmm. and you kind of just make sure you stay out of their way. And Randy and I kind of led from a 30,000 foot view, trying to keep everything going in the right direction. And that event is so much different than what we're dealing with now. A tornado or a natural disaster or something like that. There's steps,
right.
and you kind of have a playbook to go by. And right after that, then the COVID situation hit here, and really everyone's learning as we go how to up and down. That's like a roller coaster. You get different information almost sometimes hourly, but certainly daily.
Yeah, and we're going to get into who you've relied on and who you've spoke with, because you and Randy are doing now. You're doing updates through Facebook and all the media outlets. How often are y'all doing
those?
We're
down to once a week now. For a while we were doing daily, and mm-hmm. then we kind of dropped down to 3 days a week, and then 2 days a week. We're down to a day a week. There's just people appreciate the communication and the information, but sometimes we don't have a lot of new information other than just numbers,
right.
and those are being put out obviously by the state, who we rely on for those numbers, but we can talk about a little bit about that too.
Well, and it's been really good to me because it keeps us informed, but you're right, there's only so much you can say, especially when y'all were doing it every day. Y'all were mainly focusing on the increases in numbers. How rapidly is it increasing, or is that normal pace? Of course, there's more to people being tested, so the more you test, the more cases you're going to have. Who have y'all really relied on? The health department?
Lisa Bumlow with the health department a lot. Obviously, she's our local expert, and that's where all the testing is centered through. Putnam County is testing pretty much, from our understanding, more than most other counties anywhere in Tennessee. We certainly have it more available to people,
right.
Drive-through testing, and sometimes it's been 7 days a week. I think it's down to 5 days a week now, but it's available and it's free and it's out there. The problem that all of us are having right now, we are seeing an exponential rise in cases, but we're having an exponential rise in testing. And so you can't adequately and fairly figure out, are we increasing at a faster pace than other counties, because we're missing a key data point. And that data point is, how much are these other places testing? So if you don't have the number of if you don't know how many are tested, and therefore you're getting we have a positive number, we have a population number, but if you don't have that key data point, then you're just guessing.
Right.
And we can only get access to our numbers. We know that we've tested almost 7,000 people at the health department. We've been compared a little bit to Knoxville. They have, five, six times the population, and we have more cases than they do. The question is, how many tests have
right.
they performed? We don't know that. We know at one point we were told, when we had tested about 4,500, they were less than 3,000. I don't know that. I know they don't offer drive-through testing.
Right.
I know you have to make an appointment. So, again, none of this is to downplay this, but I think everything you have to give in context. If you just look at oh my gosh, our numbers are exponentially increasing, they are.
Right.
Now, is that – because I think if you, across the board, if every city and county in Tennessee or in the United States tested, I think we know that this virus is out there,
right?
Obviously.
Sure.
It's not just, you know, Pickett County went forever and had no cases. Do we believe that Pickett County had no cases?
Right.
I personally don't.
Right.
I believe it spread, and I believe they, as somebody finally got tested. So it's out there, and until you have these numbers, which we can't get access to, we can't fairly compare ourselves.
Yeah, and I know you're not downplaying anything. I'm not either. I've tried to be as transparent on this show when I've talked to officials or people.
Yeah.
Thing is it is there. Interesting this week, though, I talked to two different people unrelated from each other, their families. One gentleman said, hey, I had this in January. There's no doubt I had this.
A lot of people think they did.
You went to be tested for the flu. It was negative.
Negative strep, negative flu.
Yep.
Still had this respiratory deal.
Had a hard time breathing, was coughing, whatever. Felt like they had a fever. And it went through. This guy went through his whole family. They went through it, ended up being fine. The next gentleman I spoke to, and this is just random discussion, he had it. He feels like he had it in January as well, but none of his family went
right.
through any of the same symptoms. And it just affects everybody differently.
Well, and that's the key, too. You know, a lot of people could have it. You know, it severely or adversely affects a smaller percentage of the population, especially those that, you know, compromised immune system, diabetes, cardiovascular, respiratory issues. Those are the people that need to be really, really careful.
Sure.
No matter whether we think there's a bunch of cases here or not. I mean, that's and that falls back to what we've been preaching, personal responsibility and using common sense. You know, I don't think any time in history have we ever quarantined healthy people.
Right.
And that's what we ended up doing, and it ended up, you know, really hurting our economy.
Yeah.
Again, not choosing economy over people.
Sure.
Not doing that, but you've got to have a balance in that. So if you're compromised, then you need to take that personal care to not be exposed. Get somebody else to go shopping for you. Do those things if you can to do that, and then try to balance having an economy going, unemployment. You know, what are the ramifications
right.
of people without a job, poverty level, substance abuse,
mm-hmm.
domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen domestic violence up as much as 800%.
Right.
And, you know, suicide, all these different things. So you've got to have a multifaceted approach to this.
Yeah. And you talk about domestic violence and being, you know, people are staying home and they're around their spouses more. And I'm not joking at all because it happened. But,
yeah.
You know, luckily my wife has been the difference. I'm glad you're home. This has been great.
Right.
We've been able to, you know, it's been fun. And she hasn't wanted to commit any domestic violence crime against me. So
or kick you out of the house.
Or kick me out, wanting to send me down to my parents. So I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
People say I brag probably too much on people, but I'm not going short it. You and Randy Porter have done a great job on these updates. You did a great job through the tornado stuff. Y'all are very transparent. You're very honest. You're positive, which I think you have to be, but you're honest. You're not filling us full of information that don't exist.
No.
So I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate
so on
that.
Top of that, I will say that a lot of people have bragged on you outside of even some people that I work with throughout the state who come to your Facebook page or Randy's to watch just to get an update, and they may live in West Tennessee.
Sure.
And they're like, do these guys have a morning show or anything? I'm like, no, but they probably should. And I would love to see the Ricky and Randy show.
We're in negotiations on that. I appreciate you using my name first.
Yeah, right?
When he tells it, he always wants to say the Randy and Ricky
well,
show.
Well, I mean,
I'm just kidding.
You're here. No, but y'all do a great job, and I appreciate it. So, and we got a couple minutes left in this segment, and we'll talk more about the city stuff too. But are city operations back to normal?
Well, pretty much. I mean, so all city facilities are back open. You know, obviously everyone's made provisions now. You know, you got the physical distancing spaces. And, you know, we have unlike the courthouse doesn't have that many people typically that come in and visit it. There are a few
right.
offices there. The city hall actually has quite a few because you
sure.
can come pay your bill in there. And
mm-hmm.
so we had operated for so long with just the drive-through or online options. And but now that's back open again. I think last week 450 people came in. Working through that process, the only things right now that aren't back open in any capacity are the Dogwood Park Fountain. The
okay.
parks are open.
Mm-hmm.
The Dogwood Park Fountain's not owned yet. And the playgrounds, Hard to See Playground and the playgrounds at Cane Creek, are not open yet. And those are still based off of the governor's opening guidance,
sure.
the Tennessee Pledge guidelines that pretty much talk about splash pads and playgrounds. Now, I don't know, you know, our parks director's working through that of
right.
what that's going to look like. You know, the concern, I guess, is, you know, I know the CDC's going back and forth, you know, can it live on an inanimate object or a surface? You know, first they said yes, and they said no. Now they said maybe yes again.
I saw that.
So we don't know. So all that's changing. And so I think again, if I hope we can get those back open soon. And then I would just say to people, you know, bring your own wipes, and, you know, before your child gets on there, wipe the thing down.
Sure.
And then be kind. And when they're done, wipe it off it again. And then the next person, wipe it. So you can, to me, that's the way that we have to, because we cannot live our life waiting on a vaccine, of which the flu vaccine proves, number one, it doesn't always work. Number two, how many thousands of people don't even take it?
Right.
So you can't wait around. You got to figure out how to coexist with this thing and manage and mitigate it. And that's what we're talking about doing. So everything's back open except those. The picnic shelters are now they're for rental again. Cane Creek Sportsplex, the fields. I know they're working with County Parks and Rec and John Ross Albertson and them to decide, and talking with other members of the state. What's that going to look like? You know, having teams again. It may be fall before team sports. I don't know. Those are administrative issues that the mayor and council don't really get involved in.
I understand that.
And you know how that is too. So you got administrators that you want them to make the decisions, and we try to stick by them. So
well, we'll continue to talk when we come back about some of the operations going on. But good information. You're listening to Trending on Friday morning with Mayor Ricky Shelton from the city of Cookeville. So we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Trending. This is Ben Rogers, your host. I have with me City of Cookeville Mayor Ricky Shelton. He has given some good information in the first segment, and we're talking about the city operations. Are they back to normal? And some are and some are not quite yet, based on CDC guidelines and governor's recommendations. One big part of the city of Cookeville, one of the big services in my mind that you provide, and my wife and I have utilized over the years, is leisure services and the community center there, the building there at Cane Creek.
Right.
Are the classes going now?
Yeah, they've started several of those back. Obviously, you know, again, figuring out in smaller groups and that kind of thing. One thing they did, and I think that's what you're seeing businesses and others adapt to this new way to do things. They offered they still offered content all throughout this stay at home, safer at home kind of thing that we were all dealing with, online content. And so they produced a lot of that, and we're working through that. And, you know, I think that's what we're all going to see, is new ways, or maybe ways that were available that we really didn't utilize. And I think there's going to be things that come out of this, situation that we've dealt with. Some of them will be good. You know, some of them will be new ways to do things. You know, whenever Zoom meetings for council and commission and things like that. Now, it's not ideal on an ongoing basis, but certainly in a situation like this, I know the school did that as well. You know, I think we're going to see more and more people do online school, or, you know, school at home and those kind of things. So I think a lot of things are going to change. Some of them won't be as good, but I think some of them will be as good or better.
Yeah, and that's what I've said too, is we're learning to do things differently, and some of those things may be better than what we've been doing.
Right.
And you and I discussed before you come on, you had Zoom meetings today already, or got Zoom meetings today. I've got Zoom meetings today. We might as well own stock in Zoom. As much as I've been on Zoom.
2 days this week, I've had 8 Zoom meetings.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, and mine are anywhere from 30 minutes to 3 hours.
Yep.
And it's like, how do you get on Zoom for 3 hours? Well, if that's what they require you to be on, or what you need be on. And so, and I had one of our commissioners propose back in March, or actually April, why don't we do our commission meeting through Zoom, which I think is okay. But with 24 of us, I told her, I said, we're going to try the Twin Lakes conference call first. See how it goes. If it goes well, we're going to stick with it. Well, then she was on the joint meeting with you, the intergovernmental joint economic development intergovernmental committee last week, and she's like, no, we can't do a commission meeting through Zoom because it's just too much.
Well, there are ways to do it. You know, if you have to have it so the moderator has to, you know, mute the lines and do otherwise. I mean, Randy and I were on a call with the governor and had from county mayors all over Tennessee. I mean, some of them looking at their, you know, didn't know their camera was on, and some of them were on the phone.
So didn't mute themselves talking about God knows what.
Everything. So yes, there is etiquette that needs to be utilized.
So leisure services is back up.
Yes.
Is the gym open?
It's now back open. Okay. And, you know, again, modifying with the numbers of people.
How many, okay.
And because, again, as we've said all along, you and I didn't got to talk about it, but, you know, all of our stuff is based off the governor's guidelines.
Sure.
We, city, county mayor, didn't have the authority to close any business. We don't have the authority to open any business. If you've seen, you know, they talk about the 89 and the 6. The 89 are 89 counties that have a state-run health department. The other 6 have their own health department. That's Nashville, Chattanooga, Knoxville, Memphis, and 2 others.
Yeah,
maybe Upper East Tennessee.
I think so, yeah.
And 1 other. Anyway, those 6. So the health department, controlled by the county, actually dictates and can operate, and that's why you've seen in that we see a lot of information about Nashville, obviously, but that's who guided all that. So they didn't follow the governor's guidelines,
right?
So, but we did, and you know, I know we had some counties around us, one or two, you know, to say, well, we're going to open back up. Well, you can say that, but none of us had the authority to do that,
right?
Just like we didn't have the authority to close them,
mm-hmm.
And so we were getting messages, you need to close them, you need to close them. Well, we can't. And then we had message, you need to open things. Well, we can't do that either.
Yeah.
So, you know, balancing that, people oftentimes don't understand. You know, I know some people in other states you've seen kind of have gotten off on all this power. I'm a free market person. I want
sure.
the free market to run. I think less government is better. You know, I think there's vital functions that the government should provide always. And then there's things that we need to stay out of. And, you know, this is a very unique situation. I think it's going to rewrite how we look at and do things, though. And we just have to be careful that we don't overreach. And certainly I would hate to be around where you have somebody that really takes that newfound power and really abuses it.
Yeah, and it's the whole, you have, you know, as mayor, you have the right to shut down anything you want to. I was getting questions, and that's, of course, my county mayors asked me, but even about cities, I'm like, guys, it's the same unless their charter says something different. I think Nashville's was different. I don't know.
Theirs was.
You know, but unless it says something different, it's going to fall on what the governor says. So leave the mayors alone. Let them do what they can do, and everything's going. And eventually, of course, it will shut down. But
now, I had conversations with the governor
sure.
a couple times and his advisors, and shared some thoughts and some things that I thought that weren't being, you know, fairly and equitably done in some cases. But again, that's just an opinion. And
yeah, of course, I got opinions too. And speaking of, you know, things being shut down, and it affects everybody. But
sure,
my example is my wife's an entrepreneur. She runs her own business, and she makes jewelry. And a lot of people know that. Well, she has her jewelry in – she does wholesale, so she has her jewelry in several boutiques across the state. Well, 5 of them have closed down, you know, and
yeah.
So she's got 2. So it's affected us. But,
absolutely.
You know, we're managing. We're fine, but it's affecting a lot of people. I know there's some places probably in Putnam County that are going to close and may not open. We don't know officially what those are, but unfortunately it's affected us.
Well, the problem, you know, was that whole, you know, essential and non-essential.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see, you know, people got frustrated and saw businesses, you know, Lowe's, and, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people crammed in there. Well, it was more about an items that were deemed essential. And if
right.
you sold those items, then therefore you were an essential business.
Yep.
As it turned out, I mean, technically, from the way it was written and told to me later, pretty much any small business probably could have stayed open if they had less than 10 people in them.
Wow.
Now, would you have sold anything?
Yeah.
Maybe not, but would it have given people an opportunity to figure out? You know, I don't know. And it's one of those things, no matter what you do, some people are going to disagree with it and
sure.
it's going to be wrong. And so it's, you know, leadership in these kind of cases, tornado, this, it's lonely and it's hard.
It is. And so part of what you got to do as city mayor and the chair of the council is constantly monitor revenue. And I know we have city manager, and James does a great job, and
sure.
that's his daily job. But you're obviously involved, and the council's involved
right.
with that. What we don't officially know what April revenue is yet, but what was March revenue like?
The March was down about 10% for the city. Cookeville, of course, that's, I think, what, 75% of the tax revenue is the city of Cookeville.
Mm-hmm.
I know Baxter was up and Allgood was up. You know, part of that was, you know, they had the stores there closest into Baxter that
yeah.
people couldn't come down 70 from that.
Yep.
I know Mayor Martin was hated the reason he got it, but he's proud
sure.
to have the increase in revenue.
Sure.
I told him, I said, now don't be getting any ideas. You want to close 70 and keep people yeah. from coming down through there.
Exactly.
But he does a great job there. But, you know, April will be the telltale, and then May, but really April, that's when everything was really,
yeah.
was really closed down. And, one probably positive for us is that we did have the big boxes, you know, Walmart and Sam's and Lowe's, and they were extremely busy.
They were.
You know, so maybe, but small business really hurt.
It did.
That was, I guess, as being a former small business owner, that hurt my heart more than anything because, you know, stimulus checks came out. And the people who really need the money spent in their businesses, the small businesses, were closed.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was left, and a lot of people spent that stimulus money like it was a lottery.
Sure.
And, again, you know, it's your money. You can do what – well, it's all – I guess it was whoever's money it was.
Yeah.
But the point was, I mean, you get that check, you can certainly make that decision.
Yeah.
But the idea was, you know, to help you utilize it for your – bills coming up. I think a lot of people probably maybe spend it for things that extras, and that's fine. They can certainly do that. But it would have sure been nice for our small businesses to be able to benefit from that.
I agree. It would have, and I'm hoping to see those small businesses start opening back, especially in the historic part of Cookeville,
sure.
where there's so many. You know, y'all have worked so hard of getting that side yeah. of town rebuilt,
yeah.
restructured, looking great. These businesses, boutiques, stores, restaurants coming in, and then all this happens, you know. And so it hurts them, but I'm hoping they're able to weather the storm. We got two segments left. If you can stick around,
sure.
We're going to come back. This is Trending, and Ben Rogers, your host. Ricky Shelton will be back in just a moment to talk about what's going on this summer. We're going to talk a little bit, continue to talk some about the city capital projects and the budget, and we'll talk about the tornado relief committee that he and Mayor Porter set up when we return. Welcome back to Trending. This is Ben Rogers. I'm delighted to have Ricky Shelton, the city of Cookeville mayor, with me. I want to talk about capital projects. COVID-19 has affected obviously revenue, and for county and cities has affected how their, you know, their daily operations are going and their big projects. So,
but we did, we are, our budget is going to have no tax increase.
We were going to get to that. So I'm glad.
Extremely important that we, there's a lot, you know, you've seen these, Nashville 33%.
Yeah.
Oh, good grief. But no, we're, a flat line. Budget, had to move a couple things around to make that work, but, and still have, you know, our capital projects as you asked about originally, but I wanted to make sure everybody knew, no tax increase.
Well, let's talk about the budget real quick since you
yeah.
brought it, and that's fine because we were going to get to it. No increase, and y'all normally pass it in June?
Correct, and we'll be, so there are two meetings in June. We'll do a first and second reading on it. We're probably, last meeting we went, we're kind of a hybrid meeting. Four of us were there and one was on Zoom. We'll probably do June in some capacity like that, and then hopefully back to full meeting. But we will have public hearings on that as well. But yes, we're passing that. We're funding our employees like they need to be, and so no cuts on any of that. And you know, we're glad we're able to do that. And you know, the employees have worked really hard through all this, and
they have.
And
it's hard not to reward those employees for, and even the non-public safety ones,
sure.
the ones that kept the doors open or kept answering the phone at the city,
absolutely.
Taking those bills all through this. I mean, they're just, you know, they've done a great job. And so you've heard it, you know, the plan right now, you're passing the budget in June like you always
right.
do. No increase in taxes. The budget's pretty much state status quo besides other, maybe trying to give some raises, I'm assuming.
Just longevity.
The stuff that normally happens.
So, yes.
Same thing with county right now.
Right.
Of course, we haven't met, but that's our departments have been great so far that I've heard. Have turned in status quo budgets and said, no, we're not asking for anything because it's just been a hard time.
Absolutely.
Y'all always have capital projects going on. That's part of running a city. That's part of making the city attracting and to businesses, and roads are a big part of that. Last time you and I were on, we were talking about all the road projects, but you have other stuff going on. Has this affected the process or the progress, I should say, in those capital projects?
You know, we had the police department and police headquarters, and it was ready to be bid, and so we kind of delayed about 6 weeks of when we wanted to send that on out for bid. It went through all the design process and then getting all that set up and ready. And so we have, in fact, actually gone ahead and sent that for bid. You know, you're trying to decide, do we want to proceed with this? Something that's been much needed. And we delayed it about 6 weeks, and we said, let's go ahead and bid it. And that pretty much starts the dominoes once you bid it, as far as it kicks in of what we need to do. And, you know, as long as it comes back within the budgeted amount that we'd kind of set aside to figure out our bond issue, then I'm sure we'll proceed, but we'll wait and see what those numbers come back to.
And it's interesting now, right now, I've talked to a couple of school systems that maybe are repairing roofs or adding on to buildings. They've told me that when they've sent it out to bid during these last couple of months, it's come back lower than they projected because these contractors are trying to stay open and
absolutely
running, and so they can pay their employees and they can feed their families. So right now
might be a good time to continue on.
I mean, you'll find out when you get the bids back. Any other capital projects going on in the city?
Just some standard, you know, some equipment, some vehicle and truck purchases and things for public works, and just some standard things, nothing extravagant, no big wish items right now, and don't know right. I don't think it'd be prudent to do anything like that. You know, again, the police headquarters is something that's been talked about for years, and we wanted to go ahead. We got that to that ready. We've already had the land for that, and so. But as far as any other major projects like that, we'll try to do some road projects, and we've got a few in the works or in the design, or you know, a few state projects that are in right of way acquisition and others. So trying to manage and facilitate those, and sidewalk projects, we'll continue to do those, and some general maintenance things, but nothing huge.
Nothing huge. And business has got to continue, and county and city government's got to continue. As a county wide, we thought this back in February, we thought right now we'd be discussing new jail, new school. And these meetings, which I want to get into next, of how we've had to conduct meetings, because you're the same. The council's had to do electronic meetings.
Yeah.
We feel like we didn't want to overload our agenda with big items like building something. And we kind of voted just to say, hey, we are going to build a jail and add on to where it's at, but we never voted to spend any money, because right now is not the time to be spending a lot of money that when we don't know what revenue's coming in.
Sure.
As far as your council meetings have been, have y'all scaled back on the agenda because of this?
Yeah, I mean, we've been able to postpone, you know, any kind of major thing, nothing major. So it's been very light. Now, our June 4th and June 18th meetings will be real heavy, because planning commissions had to do the same thing. They've kind of done electronic, and so several things that will, you know, to hold a public hearing, we really need to be in the public.
Sure.
You know, it's very difficult to hold a public hearing online. That just really doesn't. And so, to be fair, we'll have a pretty heavy agenda in June to try to get caught up on a few things.
And I'm glad you mentioned Planning Commission. They've continued to meet.
Yes. Missed one, I believe, missed March possibly, and then met April, May.
They're so important to the city. And
absolutely,
people sometimes don't think about what the Planning Commission does, but they're the ones deciding if something can be built, or they're the ones deciding what kind of codes this is it residential, is it commercial. They do such a good job, so they have to meet.
They do.
And they may have missed one, but they've continued to meet. Like I said, business has to continue.
They do, you know, for a project or a rezoning or anything like that, it's studied, and then it gets on their agenda, and it's two public hearings there. And then if it passes, it comes to the city council and has two public hearings. Or if it doesn't pass, then the person that brought it can appeal it to the council for a public hearing.
Right.
So there's a lot, you know, options, but it takes a little while to get things, and that's why, you know, when you miss a meeting or two, it throws projects on further down the road. So it's important to get those back online.
Gotcha. So we feel like, of course, the city's back to operating. You know, the parks are still limited as far as the playgrounds go. The walking track at Cane Creek's open where people can still walk and run. Things are slowly getting back, we hope. I saw something just yesterday about the new normal social distancing. I have a hard time with that.
I miss hugging people
yeah.
and handshaking, and, you know, do you do fist bumps or elbows, or, you
or
know,
you
what
just
is
not
that?
Even look at each other. It's kind of weird.
Or do you do it and then break out your bottle and
yeah,
sanitize
exactly.
yourself? So, you know, I don't know. It's just we're in the South, and, again, I'm a hugger. I like to hug people, and it's been odd.
It has been
sure.
odd, especially for like you and I that are people – people persons that we want to be around people. We have to be around people. And, you know, not having commission meetings in public was really weird for me.
Right.
And I, you know, it's just, I'm hoping things will get back to that normal, what we knew. That's where I'm hoping.
Yeah. And I kind of quit using the word social distancing. I started using physical distancing because, you know, I saw that somewhere else. I certainly didn't coin that, but you know, I don't want to not have social interaction.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if I have to be apart from you, you know, physical distance from you, I think it makes a little more sense and maybe provides a better connotation, because never was it mandated that we should lock ourselves in a dark house and not get out and not social, right, or not be out in the outdoors in the sunshine.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's important to kind of balance is the key.
I agree. So let's talk about your personal life for a minute. You have a career other than running, being the mayor, and people don't understand it's not a paid full time job, but you treat it like a full time job because you put your work into. What's changed in your actual real job?
A lot. You know, I'm in pharmaceutical sales, and I work for a fantastic company called AstraZeneca Pharmaceuticals in diabetes sales. And so I typically, you know, would travel 1,000 miles a week. My territory was Cookeville all the way into Knoxville. And early on in this, you know, we kind of went into, you know, they didn't want us out in the field for obvious reasons. You know, if I'm going in 10 doctor's offices a day, they probably don't want other people in there. We have a chance to spread something. And so for our safety and for the offices, they kind of brought us back. What it did for us, though, again, we're talking about this new way of doing things. It opened up an opportunity for us to do virtual engagements with our medical providers. And we were one of the first companies in our industry that started doing this, and we even do virtual lunches. And so, you know, I would have a caterer, so we were able to help still spend money in these areas and send lunches into these offices, and the physicians who badly needed a break, because we were one of the only pharma companies doing this, right, and they were all working, you know, 9 to nothing, and, you know, give a few minutes to get on a video. It's like a Zoom, but it was encrypted, and so able to have a conversation with them. You know, what can we do for you? What can we do to help you? You know, we're able to still send samples into their office by electronic signature, and so just some things that we had never had the opportunity to do. It will be something going forward that our company will use in some capacity a lot, and that's been really good. The other thing I'm real proud about our company is, I don't know if they've been in the news, a couple of things. You know, the University of Oxford in England was one of the first ones trying to develop a COVID vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
AstraZeneca has partnered with them and has agreed to produce 1 billion doses. They have secured AstraZeneca has secured the production capacity around the world, mm-hmm, for 1 billion doses of this as soon as it's on the market, and is going to produce it at cost.
Wow.
At no profit.
Wow.
And so 30,000 people have already gone into a phase 3 trial.
Right.
I mean, this is unheard of to get this, wow, to get something this quick. And so a vaccine could be ready, could possibly be ready as early as October.
Wow. That's big
again,
news.
Again, which is not, you know, that's usually an 18 to 24 month process.
Sure.
I mean, you're talking less than 9 months.
Right.
Now, whether you take it or not, when it's available, that's up to you, your choice,
right,
personal freedom.
Right.
But the big thing is of the science and technology that's out there, and our company is one of the leaders of that. And so very, very proud of that. And so, yeah, it's really changed that. We're actually, though, going back out into the field Monday in some kind of hybrid capacity, kind of like we've been doing hybrid meetings, you know, some,
sure,
some online, some not. I'm going to check in, you know, which offices will let us in, which offices, you know, really wants us to wait, and how can we basically serve them.
Good. Good information. We have one more segment. We'll return with Mayor Ricky Shelton from Cookeville. This has been Rogers. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Trending. This has been Rogers. I continue to visit with Ricky Shelton, mayor of the city of Cookeville. We're talking about working at home. His career has changed a little bit. You've been at home working. Y'all have learned how to operate differently with business. My question is, has Shannon kicked you out of the house at any point in time?
She has not.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's good.
It's good. And, you know, my daughters, she actually started homeschooling her daughters this year anyway.
Sure.
And so when all this transpired, it was no different for them. And I think that's what we're going to see going forward. I mean, not everybody doesn't have the ability to do that. I understand that.
Right.
But I think online is here to stay.
Yeah.
Online classes. And I think it could actually help in the future in our school systems that we may not have to build as big a buildings or as many buildings.
Sure.
Maybe you need smaller flex rooms. And anyway, I just think it's a I think it's one of those things that's going to come out of it that may be a positive for them.
I agree, and it could happen sooner than later, really.
But I'm thankful for my family. Like you, I know, like you, you know, we in public. Life and doing that, it's a huge commitment for us, but it's just as big a commitment.
It is.
And time away from your family and what they have to put up with and deal with. So thankful.
Yeah,
yes.
They're patient.
I know you are too.
I get phone calls at home and before when I wasn't home, my wife would answer and then she would take the butt chewing from the person calling because of me. So I had to go home and apologize to her because she got yelled at by a constituent, which that's why I'm here. I mean, my phone number's there. You call if you need something, let me know. If you're mad at me, I'll try to help you. But anyway, you know how that is. So let's talk about hopefully some good stuff. The city and you are always very proactive, even throughout the whole year, but especially Memorial Day on, which we just finished Memorial Day. The summer events, you're always having like Slide the City and the 4th, July 4th.
Red, White, and Boone.
Red, White, and Boone. Yeah. Always, do you have an update?
Well, very soon I'll announce the details. You know, we've been back and forth of trying to – I didn't want to be one of those places that canceled it 3 months ago.
Sure.
Because we didn't know what we're going to deal with. So we're going to have in some different capacity, we're having Red, White, and Boone.
Okay.
This will be our 6th annual. And, you know, also my wife and I formed Better Cookful. It's a nonprofit that facilitates these events, and so I'm thankful for our business community, our business partners that you know have been working with me throughout this to help fund this. You know, that's important to know that it's we're not talking about tax revenue here. We're talking about individual private businesses that believe in what these events are. And so, you know, what's going to be great about Red, White, and Boom this year is our community needs something positive and something to celebrate. And we're going to make this about honoring the tornado victims and the healthcare heroes and our first responders and our frontline workers. And so, we're going to have it. We're going to have I'll announce there'll be parts of it that won't happen. There'll be parts of it that'll be a little different, but, we're going to have a celebration in Cookeville so that people, you know, families and people can kind of rally around and look forward to something and take a little break from the news and just try to have something positive. Because I know it's one of the events that many people look forward to. And we have thousands of people. I know a lot of cities are canceling their stuff.
Yeah.
And we're going to be respectful. We're going to be safe. Mm-hmm. We're not saying, hey, we're going to, you know, we want 10,000 people to cram into a street. No, I mean, you can do these things. I mean, you're seeing drive-ins come back because people can sit in their car and watch a movie, and you're seeing drive-in concerts and we're gonna there may or may not be a virtual concert as part of this.
A live virtual concert.
So
you're
know,
putting out teasers.
Well, I am, because I mean, there's ways to do things. You just kind of have to think outside the box. We can still be safe, but listen, at the end of the day, whatever happens, just like it is now, if you don't feel it's safe, or you are in a vulnerable population, or you just want to be extra precautious, you can stay home.
Yeah.
We're going to make it available that you'll be able to watch whatever we're doing online.
Good.
We're going to stream everything we do live.
Good.
So you're going to have lots of options. But we need to celebrate our community. We need to celebrate what we've been through and getting on the other side of, especially the tornado.
Yeah.
You know, I really had great plans for what this was going to be when it was just thinking about, because it immediately struck me that day, we're going to make this a thankfulness for all that went into everybody that helped with that tornado.
Sure.
And the volunteers and the, you know, the survivors and we still can do that. And now we've got something else to be thankful for, is all the frontline, the healthcare workers and the frontline workers that have worked through this thing.
Yeah.
So anyway,
that's coming Monday.
You can't
tell
I'm excited about, I get excited about these things.
Well, you should, but you're announcing Monday?
Announcing Monday.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you have a time you're announcing it? Or?
I'll have a press release to go out and we'll have it all over our social sites, and Mayor Porter will put it on his.
Folks, I'm trying so hard to get information out of him, and he's being really good about not letting
Let me just
go,
say so. This. We've always had the second largest fireworks show in Tennessee. We've always at least had the second largest fireworks show in Tennessee.
All right. See, he's teasing you, everybody, and I think it's great. I think it's great. We got about 4 minutes left.
Yeah.
Something that, of course, the tornado was devastating, and we all know that, but something good out of that came, other than all the love that people poured into and how great our city and county worked together, and how great all of us in the county and cities worked together.
Well, that's because my partner in crime, Randy Porter, you know, it's scary. We like, what do you think? Yep, let's go.
Yeah.
And that's how you get stuff done.
It is. you and him decided, because immediately people were sending money, and where do we send money to? We want to help out. We can't be there physically. They may be from another country. I don't know. But we can't be there physically. How do we help out? We want to donate money. You and him pretty, in a quickly, timely manner, decide to set up a tornado relief committee.
This story could take a whole episode, but I'll try to be quick. So I started seeing stuff, you know, all these GoFundMe started popping up.
Right.
Some were legit, but then I saw some weren't.
Right.
And I said, man, we got to do an official account. And so we talked about it for a minute, and he said, take care of it. So I'm, you know, sitting there beside him, and so he's, so I immediately started working on, and thankfully, you know, the county had an account in the governmental line item when the ice storm happened.
Right.
So rather than having to try to create a new nonprofit, that's technically a non-taxable account. So we're able to utilize that, set up a bank account, immediately started getting the information, set up a Venmo, set up a PayPal. My daughter helped with that when she was sitting there at the EOC with me. And so we went through, got all that set up. Another company offered the assistance of called Mobile Calls, which helped with the Gatlinburg fires, and they helped with the fundraiser that the Kobe Bryant did out for his death. And so it's this national company that you're able to text to donate. And so we had all these things converged at once, and that money started flowing in there, and, you know, just so thankful, over $2 million.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing that was important, Randy and I said, we continue to raise money. We wanted nothing to do.
Sure.
We wanted that transparency, and we wanted that separation. So after all that, the account built up, we actually shut Venmo down. They're not even set up we had to close our Venmos. Three erroneous Venmo accounts were opened. And so we were trying to fix that. And then they finally just said, we're not set up to take donations. We broke Venmo.
Right,
so
right.
We had to cancel that one. But the bigger thing was, then we said, well, let's set up a committee. And so we picked out, we found some people, and they're great people. Bob Bell was chairman of our committee, and Lillian Hartgrove, and Judge Leon Burns, and Micah Johnson, and you, yeah. and Councilman Miller. So we want a city county representative, and
Caitlin
Steakley, who kind of did the whole Cookville Strong mm-hmm. thing. So we tried to have a broad range, very ethical people, very caring people, that different ranges. And then we had Melinda Kiefer from the city economic development coordinator, and John Bell, the foundation. It runs the hospital foundation. So those were your two administrators. You can speak to this just as well as I can, but you all established the criteria by which this committee would disperse these funds. And we wanted it to be fair. We wanted it to be equitable. You know, obviously somebody that lost, you know, groceries and power for a while, would be at a different level than someone who lost a home or lost a life or both. And so you had this, y'all did such a fantastic job of having this range and a scoring system. Very easy form, though. It wasn't complicated for people to fill out, but everyone filled that form out, and then they were ranked and scored. And then as the money continued to flow in, I think when we first started, it was at $1.5 million. And through the process of this, it grew to over $2 million. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're still taking donations for a little bit longer, and hopefully we can do a second disbursement in some capacity,
right.
Of which y'all, and I know we can't let this go on forever because
sure.
for auditing purposes it has to close. And I think if the pandemic hadn't hit, we would have had a lot more money.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But hitting that $2 million, you know, we had people donated $5 and $10, and we had people that donated, well, $392,000 from Food City in East Tennessee.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just phenomenal, and the committee, I can't say enough about y'all for the job you did, and your administrators there that helped you with that job, and then how quickly that, you know, Randy Porter and his staff got the checks out.
Sure.
His staff, I mean, they got this list, and boom, the checks were mailed out. Got messages from people who they just finished some repairs on their home, and they didn't know how they were going to pay for it, and boom, the check arrived
yep.
in the mailbox. And
yep.
so, you know, it was a God thing.
It was.
To organize all that
it
and
was.
Have all that like it was. And
it had to be happen so quickly, you know, and I want to thank you and Mayor Porter for the vision and just the resolve to not panic and get this done.
And that's the trust thing that I was talking about. You know, he said, just do it. So here I am setting up an account on the county.
Yep.
And I was called the Bank Putnam County, where Jonathan Medley helped get all this set up. So I was writing down all the login info and all. He never even knew what it was.
Yeah.
And so I had it all on a sheet, and I said, okay, here it all is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's the kind of level. That's how you get things done.
Sure.
Though, is you working with somebody, and you don't have to question their motives, and you don't question their integrity. You just know, okay, we got to get this done. How are we going to do it? And you just go do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for our city and our county partnership. I'm thankful for our commission and our council partnership. I'm thankful all these people that came out and helped, and the people are still supporting our local businesses. And, you know, we live in an amazing place.
We do. And I appreciate that. And we'll close on that, because I appreciate your time. Appreciate everything you're doing. This has been Trending. Ben Rogers and Mayor Shelton from the city of Cookeville has been my guest. Wonderful job as always. We'll see you next week.